Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
Looking for car shows? Then look no further than flacarshows.com. On your computer or on your mobile device, flacarshows.com is a comprehensive list of automotive events, plus videos and news articles. Whether you're looking for car shows, cruise-ins, meetups, automotive festivals, cars and coffees, or anything else relating to an internal combustion engine, then this is a site for you. Check it out online or on your phone at flacarshows.com.
You cannot settle for the wrong answer. You cannot be second best. It's a very, very difficult job.
As the chief engineer, you're accountable for every success and every failure on this program.
Mustangs just always caught my attention. This is the dream job.
People have been working on this car for 55 years. We're just a slice in time.
Fast, fun, and affordable. That's the essence of Mustang.
You know, you guys are freaking all these people out with the cameras.
You're going where no one's gone before. Every day you're living on the edge of the cliff.
There is no more money.
We have a huge responsibility to keep Mustang going in the direction that it needs to go, and at the same time, never forgetting where we came from.
You have this all-American classic, but you have to constantly innovate. There's a lot of people's jobs at stake.
Everybody has a Mustang story. You don't have to own one to have one.
We restored this 1971 Mustang as a father-daughter project.
You hear a car pull away, and you're like, there's a Mustang.
Growing up in Vietnam, Mustang symbolized everything that was special about America. Strength, power, freedom. If that's not the American dream, I don't know what is.
You screw this up, you're screwing the entire country.
So many things are very simple, but it's very hard to make something special.
It's like almost the Holy Grail. We're gonna do whatever it takes to protect this vehicle.
There's a lot that can go wrong from here.
Growing up in an era where everybody had a horse, Henry Ford would say to the people, "What do you want?" And they'd always say, "A faster horse."
Hi, this is Bob Varsha with Speed. You're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Okay, listeners, welcome. You're tuned in to Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and I'm your show host, Robert. Run your computers and Google TAN Talk 1340.com. And yes, you can see me live here in the studios in downtown Clearwater. Don't forget to check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com. We can listen to all. This is a 600 some, how many, close to 700 now?
Yeah, I would say 700,
yeah. It's getting close to 700 shows. Wow, that's pretty cool. Anyway, good evening, Bobby. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
I got my trusty son with me here this evening. How are you?
Wound up back here.
Wound up, okay. Yeah. And we got our old buddy, old reliable there. We got Matt back with us. Hi, Matt.
Hi, guys.
How you doing?
This is a one-off appearance. Don't
worry.
This is
a one-off appearance. Yeah. Well, we should see you here every Tuesday. But anyway.
This is probably the cheapest one-night stand between Bobby and me you're ever going to have.
Cheap one-night stand. Okay. Well, anyway. All right. So we got a great show for you lined up tonight. We got nobody but me and Bobby and Matt. We're gonna have a party here. We're going to be talking about some really cool stuff. Now, there's a couple things going on this week. Okay. Obviously, if you want to find out where all the car shows are in the state of Florida, you check out Fastlane. You check out FloridaCarShows.com. But if you want to take...
Yes!
But
and then once you've checked that out,
yeah, once you checked it, then if you decide you want to take a trip to Europe and go see the Porsche factory and drive to France and Italy and Switzerland and Austria and Germany and all those other cool places around there in Central Europe, you check out FastLaneTravel.com. They will hook you up. Fastlane Luxury Travel will really hook you up with just a first-class trip all the way over, all the way back, and it'll be one of the most memorable experiences in your life. Anyway, having said that, speaking of memorable experiences, as you know, me, yours truly, I kind of deal in the cars, and I'm in the car business. And one of the things I do in the car business, besides buy and sell cars and parts and stuff like that, is I do appraisals, diminished value, and total loss valuations. Now, having said that, over the weekend, I had to go to Alabama. Okay, I had to go up to Birmingham to visit my friends at Barber Motorsports Museum. And I do appraisal work for them from time to time. So I had to appraise a kind of a unique race car. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, while I was up there, if you've never been to Barber Motorsports, you need to Google BarberMotorsports.com. Barber Motorsports Museum is probably one of the most... The property... what was interesting is I was staying overnight because I kind of stay at Hamptons a lot, Hampton Inns, you know, being Hilton Honors kind of thingy. And it's all about, you know, rewards programs and stuff like that. I always encourage people, you know, look for whether it's gasoline, whether it's food, whether it's lodging, anything like that. Take advantage of any kind of rewards programs that are out there, particularly if you travel, which I do from time to time. At any rate, so I was at the Hamper Inn or Hampton Inn, and there happened to be a Gideon Bible convention going on. Now, if you've stayed in any hotels, I know we were in a motel business, you open up that little drawer next to your nightstand, and guess what's in there? A Gideon Bible. And
well, what's the difference between that and, say, a regular Holy Bible, or is it the same thing?
Bob, you're going to have to answer that one.
There is a difference.
Okay.
I'll get back to you.
He'll get back to us.
That's
Bob's
going
to look that up.
That's fine.
Anyway, even though we're Catholic and we're Christian, kind of, you know, the Bible, I don't read the Bible. I do believe in the Ten Commandments, and I do believe in the Bill of Rights. Those, I think, are pretty good rules. So that's 20 rules that I think everybody should stick to, and we'd have a much better place to live, regarding the whole planet, for that matter. But nonetheless, this is not a religious show. But anyway, so while I was sitting there at breakfast in the morning,
Well, hold on, though. To a certain degree, isn't cars a religion for some?
Well, yeah, it is. It's an obsession.
Right. Yes, parts.
Parts can be, yeah. All right, so because I religiously like Fords.
I know you do.
That's why I religiously like Porsches. Okay, so there's the religion part of it. So
it's basically a Protestant version of a...
Of the Bible. Because you have the King James, and then you have... Right. Okay. Right. So at any rate, we'll save that, the Bible history lesson, for another day.
Yes.
At any rate... But stick to the Ten Commandments and the Bill of Rights, and you'll be good. And it's a lot easier to understand. The Bible is very interesting, but it kind of it gets kind of confusing at a time, and you have to really almost break it down. So, at any rate, having said that, the people that I was sitting next to, that was their job. Their job was to, and they were actually also out of Alabama, had that really cool Southern accent. I really liked that a lot. And especially, you know, it's kind of that Southern Belle thing, the lady I was talking to and her husband. And he was into cars, and she was into, you know, Southern Belle stuff. But nonetheless, so we were talking a little bit about that, and I asked him, you know, because there was a whole bunch of people there, and they asked me what I was there for, and I asked them what they were there for. So we kind of talked, and we had a kind of casual conversation. Nonetheless, I'm moseying on over to the Barber Motorsports Museum. Now, the Barber Motorsports Museum, well, the lady asked me. She asked me what was the museum like, and her husband was listening. And I said, well, it is probably the finest assembly of motorcycles that I've ever seen anywhere, any place. I don't think anybody can compare with it. Now, there are a number of museums around the country that have small collections, but Barber Motorsports is dedicated to motorcycles. If you ever have the opportunity to go in the back room like I have, and you see some of the project bikes and all the stuff, the upcoming bikes, it's pretty amazing. And but they also have the largest collection of vintage Lotus automobiles and Lotus memorabilia. George Barber used to race back in the day. He raced Lotuses and he raced Porsches. So he's very fond of Porsches and he's very fond of Lotuses. And they also have a small collection of Ferraris. In fact, this week, Next week, we're going to have a representative, a friend of ours, from Barber Motorsports on the radio show, which we have had in the past. And we're going to be talking about it. But they're on their way to COTA right now because there's an event going on out in in Austin, Texas, at COTA, which is the Formula One track that's out there. It's a racetrack, but COTA, it's... I can't believe I can't remember what COTA stands for. Look it up real quick, Bobby. Circuit of America. No. Yeah. Something like that. Okay. Anyways, Bobby's close. See, this is what happens when you get old. Your memory just like really, really goes bad fast. But nonetheless, okay, so they're going out there.
What do you do when I'm not here?
I'm in trouble. Then I babble. Okay. So, and my kind of babble is not learning languages. It's okay.
Yeah, Circuit of the COTA.
COTA,
Circuit of the Americas.
Yes. Circuit of the Americas. Yes. Okay, that's right. COTA. We always
or
say
is
COTA.
It Circuit of the United States. I think that's what it stands for. It's spelled COUTS, right?
TA.
Oh, yeah. COTA. Circuit of the Americas. Yeah,
there is something else in a different sport that's named that.
But nonetheless, it's an amazing racetrack. I was out there actually for an F1 race back in 2015, 2016. Yep. And I'll tell you what, I've been to a lot of races. You know, IndyCar, I've been to road race, NASCAR, all kinds of stuff, GTP stuff, or GP racing, you know, Le Mans. I mean, not Le Mans, but, you know, Daytona and Sebring.
Just to clarify, it is Circuit of the Americas. You guys were right.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Something like that. Anyway, there we go. That's it. Anyway, so I don't think I've seen a quicker, faster pit stop, a more professional racing organization than F1. That is it. I mean, that is the pinnacle. When I lived in Europe as a kid, you know, everybody's, if you were in the racing, you needed to go to Le Mans, or you needed to race at Spa. Monza, Nürburgring, wherever the top number, Monaco, the F1 tracks. F1 is like in the pecking order of racing, it's the pinnacle. And then there's Le Mans. And then, you know, Indy and GTP racing here, or GT racing in the United States is that. And then, of course, NASCAR is, you know, good old American, you know. And then we have drag racing, which is really American. And so at any rate, so they're going to COTA next week, or this weekend, because there's a big event. Speaking of this weekend, we are going to another event. Okay, so this weekend, the event that we are going to is over in Melbourne, Florida. That's over there by Daytona, just south of Cape Canaveral, in that area, north of Vero Beach. And last week we had Mark Pilach on from American. Yeah, from he's the founder of the American Muscle Car Museum. 400 amazing cars. I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. And he does a number of events. He hosts a number of events, automotive events, charity mostly. I think it was 100. He said he did something little, 100 to 120 events a year. Nothing in the summertime. Automotive events for various cars. Whether you have sports cars, whether you have muscle cars, whether you have Corvettes, whether you have Porsches, whether you have scooters, anything. So this weekend on the 14th is British car and foreign car. And I'm into both. So I'm looking forward to going over and checking it out. But let me get back to Barber Motorsports, my Barber Motorsports excursion here, as they say. So while I was up there, it just so happened. I called my buddy, my old buddy Hank, if you're listening. Hank. Alan's probably listening. Hi, Alan. How you doing out there? These are a lot of the regulars. Art's out there. He's listening. John's listening. And countless others. So I called my buddy Hank, and I said, hey, when's this thing in Columbus? Because there's what they call the All Ford Show in Columbus, Ohio, which is a big giant swap meet thing for all those Ford junkies. And I think they actually do it for other Brand X cars, too, like Chevrolet and Mopars. Anyway, I said to Hank, hey, when's this thing? This was a couple months ago. He says, well, it's in April. I said, okay, cool. Okay, put me down for that because I want to go with you this time. We keep talking about it year after year after year, and I never go, but I need to go. Okay, it's just one of those things you have to do. It's kind of like there's a Boss Mustang reunion. Got to go to that. If there's a Shelby meet, you got to go to that, so on and so on and so on. Porsche, so on. You got to go. Anyway, so he goes... I said, yeah, but I got to get to Barber Motorsports sometime between now and then because what I have to do is I have to do this appraisal, right? So he says, well, why don't you schedule it sometime in April and you can go up there when they do the Mustang Club of America event because it's also in the Birmingham area. Anyway, and I go, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. But he says it's the same weekend. Well, I forgot about all that stuff. So stuff comes up. You know how it is when you're doing your schedules and stuff. Next thing you know, I said, all right, I got to go. So I was going to leave Wednesday, didn't go Wednesday, and then I decided to leave Thursday. Couldn't get a rental car, blah, blah, blah. I drove my own van up there, which I love doing because I take my trips and I make it an adventure. An adventure, yes, an excursion. Not in an excursion, but in a Ford Transit Connect van, which is really, really cool. Which, yeah, then I go junkyarding, and I look antiques and all kinds of, and I meet really cool people. And I'll get to that just in a second. And then, so it just so happens that the Mustang show was this weekend. I didn't even realize it. But so it worked out very, very well. Anyway, on that note, I think what we're going to do is it's 20 after. Should we do a commercial here real quick? Or do I take a break, play a song?
Yeah, let's.
What did we come up with a song this time? We were just kind of winging it.
You didn't even give me anything ahead of time. So what are we doing?
How about let's? You know what? Let's.
Probably need to pick one of those, huh?
Yeah, you do. One. It's going to take me a second to find it in the archives we have here.
Yeah, and then the record collection.
Then the record collection. Okay, well, we can't really very well drop a needle in the groove since we don't have a song collected. And see, this is the beauty of radio. Okay, so for all you guys that are just tuning in. Radio is live. We are live. Okay. And it is not scripted. And unless I have my normal schedule, like I've got a guest coming on, and I have my show outline and everything like that, we just sit here. Sometimes we just wing it. And that's kind of fun.
Yes, so, it is.
Yeah, so we were trying to look up earlier. Is there like this day in music? Did you look up?
No.
Bobby's going to look that up. Yeah. So while
keep
he's looking
yeah,
at,
keep talking.
Well, he's looking. I'm going to do something I'm pretty good at, and that's blabbing. Okay, blah 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 blah. Anyway, so what happened was is on the way up there. Now the way I typically go, it varies. You know, I kind of diddy bop through South Georgia. Sometimes I go up through Alabama. You know, so I might go up via Columbus. I might swing over to Dothan. You know, and go up that way. I might go up. Towards Monticello, you know, and I've done this so many times that I've probably gone every route that you can. And every once in a while, this is the running joke. The running joke is I could walk into a Publix. My wife will send me to Publix. I can do that 10 times in a row in a week, and I still can't find my way around Publix. But I guarantee you I can find my way from here to Birmingham, from here to Atlanta, from here to California, every back road on the planet, because I have this really, really good sense of direction. So if you have a good sense of direction, it doesn't mean you can find cereal on a Publix shelf. Or like the other day, she sent me in there to get some sort of meat. I think it was like some sort of chicken or something like that. Anyway, and I didn't know where I was going, so I went to the deli thing and I told my wife, and I got this, I got something else, and then she goes, well, you walked right past it. Okay, so that's a guy thing, you know. Anyway, having said that, how are we doing there, Bobby? Anything yet? Okay, he's looking. Hey, wait a minute. I know what we need to do. What you got?
I found another song. I'm just waiting for it to get set up here while I'm trying to get it loaded to the record player.
What's the song from John Lennon, The Day in the Life? What was that one called?
It's Day in the Life, yeah.
Day in the Life. Whip that one up? And I'll tell you why I want to do that song.
Yeah.
Because a number of years ago, this is one of the vehicles that's in the Barber Motorsports Museum. And I may have talked about it a number of years ago. And it is the, at one point, they had this real funky, you know, back in the 60s, they had some pretty cool fashions, okay? And there was this company, and it was a fashion-oriented company, okay? And because since we're in the era of psychedelica, 66, 67, 68, 69, you know, these artists got together, and they painted this gentleman's car. And the gentleman was the heir to Guinness beer, okay? Scottish, I might add. Anyway, hooligans. Anyway, so this guy was had this really cool, wicked cobra that he had painted by these well-known artists at the time. And so the cobra, if you Google it, and I can't remember his name, but just Google Guinness beer heir, and I can't remember his last name. I think it was Brown, perhaps. Anyway, and so... not in that particular car, but he was driving a Lotus Elan one night, and I guess evidently he had his girlfriend with him. They were coming around a corner, and the guy in a truck pulled out in front of him. He swerved to miss the vehicle, but he didn't want, you know, he crashed, and unfortunately he killed himself, okay? Because he, you know, it's on the English right-hand side, driver's side of the car. So when John Lennon wrote the song, it starts out, he blew his mind out in the car. He didn't. Okay, he was actually killed in the car accident, but John kind of reworded a little bit. And he went on, he talks just a little bit about it, references in a few verses of the song. Well, that same guys that painted that Cobra that this gentleman owned also painted a number of artwork in that Soho district or whatever it is there of England where all, you know, everybody used to hang out. And then this company, fashion company, also had a 56 Bentley, and it was painted some really cool psychedelic colors. All right, so back in the day, what people would do is like the Jimi Hendrixes, the Jimmy Pages, the Eric Claptons of the world, the Who, people like that, would go over there and they would wear these clothes. And then this limousine, this Bentley's S2, was basically used to chariot, if you will, or chauffeur people back and forth, up and down. I think it was called Kent, but I'm not 100% sure. And to the kind of like the trendy area of London there, where you know a lot of the bars and lounges and stuff like that were. Okay, so anyway, make a fast story short. Short story fast. No, whatever. Anyway, make a story to continue with the story.
Long story short.
Long story short. Okay, so Apple, the Beatles, and in fact, George Harrison wrote a song called The Taxman. And what was happening was all these celebrities back in the day, and as well as affluent people, were getting taxed to death, okay? So hence, he wrote that song. So upon the advice of their accountants, they were encouraged to invest in other businesses. One of the businesses that they created, besides Apple Records, was they created Apple Fashions. And how Apple Fashions came to fruition is they bought this existing fashion company where this Bentley was, okay, which is affectionately referred to as the Beatle Bentley. Now, John Lennon and Paul McCartney and George Harrison in particular were car guys. George Harrison was the car guy of the Beatles, okay? John Lennon had a few cars. Paul McCartney had a few cars. In fact, Bobby got a chance to drive John Lennon's 1965 Mercedes 230 SL right-hand drive. They actually, when they did the grand opening here at the Capitol Theater a number of years ago?
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Our friends from Sarasota, Martin Gobby and crew, they own Vintage Motorsport, or Vintage Motors of Sarasota, and they brought the car up here for display. Well, at the time, they had a couple cars up here, and they needed somebody to drive the cars back. And he asked me if I wanted to drive them, and I said, it's okay if Bobby drives it. So that was a great honor. And I don't know if it was a special occasion. Was it near your birthday or something like that as well? There was something going on besides that.
Pretty close to that one.
So he got to drive John Lennon's car. That's another story for another day as far as, you know, celebrity provenance and cars and how they affect the value. But anyway, that's where this comes in at. So this Beatle Bentley was acquired by Apple Fashions, and they continued using it to basically, you know, chauffeur people around, celebrities and musicians and like that. So that car, long story short, wound up being sold when Apple Fashions closed, okay? And the license plate on that car, which is issued when the car first is registered, when it's new, stays with the vehicle throughout, you know, three or four or five or six different owners. There's also a song that John Lennon wrote with Yoko Ono when he sings this song, and he references that license number. I found in the process a video, which was an old video, it was like movies, you know, like home movies, put together, and it shows a picture of John Lennon, and that has that car in the background. So there's this amazing connection. So I actually appraised that car, and that car is on display at the Barber Motorsports Museum. So I kind of wanted to bring that a little bit. But so this is, you know, you have to do your research, and you've got to be absolutely sure on this kind of stuff when you're appraising vehicles. And the provenance is extremely significant, and the connections and the originality of the car. I actually drove the car. It was pretty cool. And it was just an amazing experience. So for Bobby getting to drive Paul McCartney or John Lennon's Mercedes, and I got to drive the Beatle Bentley. That was pretty cool too. Now, having said that, it's an amazing museum. There's a number of classic cars there. It's a historical event. But Barber Motorsports has a number of events that take place there. So, for example, if you go through a Porsche driving school, you would probably go to Barber Motorsports. They have auctions there, classic car auctions every once in a while. In June, they're going to host the Porsche Parade, which is the biggest, you know, the big celebration, kind of like the Super Bowl for all Porsche guys. You know, they're going to have that there at Barber Motorsports. In the fall, they do the Barber Motorsports Motorsports Motorcycle Festival, and they do a number of those. And I mean, you can camp there, you can run on the track. I mean, it's an amazing track. But where I started to go with this at the beginning is when this lady asked me about this the course. I said it is probably the most beautiful manicured piece of property I've ever seen that's automotive oriented. And it's almost like you went to heaven. You know, if you had to kind of envision what heaven would look like, the trees, the waterfalls, for a car guy, okay, the racetrack, the museum, cars, motorcycles. I mean, it's just absolutely perfectly maintained. I mean, it's just really, really just, it's storybook. It's really, really cool.
Well, my question to you guys is, before we get to the song, have either one of you ever driven the Autobahn?
Oh, yeah, I have many times.
And what's your favorite car to drive on the Autobahn?
Well, obviously,
for those of you that are listening, if you don't know what the Autobahn is, it's the only road in the entire world that doesn't have a speed limit, as far as I know.
Left. Right. It used to be, when I was a kid growing up in the 60s in Europe, the Autostrada, part of England, you know, and some of the other countries had it like that. But Germany at the moment is the only place where they have the Autobahn and there are no speed limits. And it's only in sections of it now because, okay, you know, Germany's gotten kind of crowded. If you're out in the middle of nowhere, you know, if you're going long distances, let's say between Munich and Frankfurt, you can do it. Between Munich and Salzburg, you can do it. Between Frankfurt and going north to Cologne, there's a stretch there. A couple places over, when you go over towards Dresden, that I'm aware of, you can go fast. Now, obviously, if I had my choice, I'd be over there in a Porsche or something really fast. You know, might even be a Ferrari, might be a Lamborghini or anything like that. But I was in there. I was driving a Ford Capri 1 year and a BMW the other year, the time that I was there. And, you know, I can recall I was doing 220 kilometers, which is 140 miles an hour, which I had that little BMW 528 pegged, okay? And a guy came up behind me on a Porsche, and he was going so fast. In Europe, normally what they do is they run up behind you, they flash the lights, and that's for you to move over. It makes perfectly good sense. I do it over here,
and
too.
I think you're supposed to do that in the States, too, is flash your lights when you want somebody to get out of your way.
Well, most people here are too ignorant, too stupid to do that, because I can tell you stories about that coming all the way back and all the way up at night.
I'm sure, but we'll save that for another
show.
We'll
save that for another show. And so that we'll talk about. Well, that'll be driving etiquette. But at any rate, so what happens is sometimes these guys are just going so fast. So if I was doing 220 and he passed me like I was standing still, my guess is he was probably going, 220 kilometers now we're talking, okay? So my guess is he was probably doing 260, 270, so he's probably doing 170, 180. And he just was staying in the far right lane, in the middle right lane, and just went pew. I could just feel my car just go pew. You know, just like a little breeze go by, you know. Poof. And I had four passengers in the car with me, but we all thought it was cool. We knew it was wrong. And then I run up on some guy that's doing about 200, and I'm saying, hey, dude, you need to get out of my way. So I, Lichthupe is what we call it in German, light horn, if you translate it. So I flashed him a few times. He moved over. I boogied on down the road, and then he moved right back over. And I thought that was dumb because there was nobody in the middle lane. So I see that kind of stuff all the time, particularly if you got a three-lane road. You know, it's the same thing we see here when you go on I-75. You got a whole bunch of truckers in the middle. If you're in a truck, stay over in the far right lane. You know, I mean, you don't need to. I see passing. I get that, but sometimes they just hang out in the middle lane. So now you got two lanes of trucks, and what people don't realize is there's this wind drag. You know, when you pass a truck, have you ever noticed it? You know, you kind of like woo 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 all over the road there. I forget what they call it, but it's called something. Anyway, let's go ahead and fire up that turntable. Let's play that song real quick. You're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Don't touch that dial. And this is John Lennon, or is this the Beatles?
Beatles.
This is still the Beatles. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. And A Day in the Life. That was called. That was a good song. Came out, I think, 1969, right? Mm-hmm. 68, 69. Okay. And don't touch the dial. We'll be right back. You're tuned into Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Today, oh boy, about a lucky man who made the grade. And though the news was rather sad, well, I just had to laugh. I saw the photograph. He blew his mind out in a car. He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure he was on the house of law. I saw a film today, oh boy. The English army had just won the war. Crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look. Having read the book, I'd love to turn you.
Hey, I'm Dave Despain from Wind Tunnel on Speed. You're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
We are back. You're tuning into Nostalgic Radio and Cars, and that was the song. And Bobby just corrected me because he went and looked it up, and it was 1967, and it's off the Sgt. Pepper's album. So that stands about right. That's about right. And, of course, that was like a really, that was kind of almost one of the high points in the psychedelic era there. So, at any rate, so while I was up there, on my way up there, I was kind of diddy-bopping, and I had a guy up there that I stopped, and, you know, I'm on a quest right now to find 60, if anybody has any, I need 64 Galaxy Beanie Hubcaps in chrome, okay? 64 Galaxy Beanie Hubcaps in chrome. They actually used them on 64, 65, 66 Ford trucks, maybe a 67, possibly. Anyway, but they got to be chrome. Give us a call here at Nostalgic Radio and Cars. Or Google us somewhere. You'll find us. Anyway, so I was on the quest for those. So obviously I went all the countrysides. And I'm, you know, back in the old days, this is really what's amazing. In the old days, I'd be driving down the road and I would see a Galaxy, I'd see an old Chevy, I'd see a station wagon, I'd see occasional Mustang, you know, once in a while some foreign cars and stuff like that sitting alongside the road. This is what's incredible. The stuff that I saw sitting on the side of the road these days was, you know, a 90s Ford, a 90s Chevrolet, you know, clapped out pickup truck, you know, 90s, 2000s. And it was really, really depressing because it wasn't even worth stopping. But you still, you're rubbernecking back and forth and you're looking and you're trying to find something. And you're hoping in the middle of all that late model junk that's there that there's probably some old classics back there. Well, I was telling Bobby what I was doing because before I take a trip, I always bury myself on Facebook and Craigslist, and I'm always looking, you know, if there's something there. So what I was hoping to do, was try to find an interesting ad where the guy had, you know, maybe one or two old cars and probably a field full of some other stuff. I was hoping I was going to find that, but I didn't. The last time I went up there, I did. I was able to find some junkyards and found a few things here. And there was one junkyard, three, not one, not two, three second-gen Camaros sitting there, and the early ones, small back window ones. That was pretty cool. He had Cutlasses. He had Monte Carlos. He had all kinds. And they were scattered all over the field. This was somewhere in Georgia, if I remember correctly. And then there was another place where it was a field, and it was coming back probably also in Georgia someplace because Georgia still has a lot of cars. And the fence, the prop, you could see it from the street. It was so tempting. There's all these old cars, Fords, Chevys, Chryslers, Mopars, muscle cars, all kinds of cool stuff, GTOs, Le Mansas, Torinos, B-Bodies, you know, Chevelles. And there's a sign in front that says, do not trespass. Okay, so you walk, you go to the next farmhouse, and you ask, hey, can I go check? Nope, can't go in there. We don't know anything about it. You go to the other one, they go, nope, don't know anything about it. Oh, it belongs to the guy down the road about 10 miles, lives up on a hill. I'm going, that's odd, you know, but that's just kind of the way it is. You happen to have some property down there, and he stored a bunch of cars. There was trucks, there was all kinds of stuff. So I drove by that place. Believe it or not, it's still there, and you can't touch anything. In the old days, it was a joke. You used to be able to find all these really cool cars if you looked on Craigslist, and back in the day, and some of the ads. You know, there was a lot of cars in Dothan, Alabama. I have no idea why it was in Dothan, but Dothan, you know, we'd go up there, and we'd find cars. And somehow, it was just like a mecca. They would just all gather there. There was a little town called Eufaula. I found some cool old stuff back in there. It was an old Cougar. There was an old Mustang. Mustang. There was no Volkswagen. I found an old Galaxy up there, you know, but didn't have much left of it. But most of the junkyards up there have actually literally gotten rid of a lot of the stuff. You do find them, but they're pretty well picked, or they're on the way out. They're just getting ready to crush the yards out. So, you know, so if you're looking for cars, old cars, you know, the Carolinas, Georgia, Alabama, I'd say probably Mississippi, obviously out west, up north, you know, I hear there's still a lot of cars, but you got to hunt. You got to really, really hunt. It's not like you just drive down the road and there they were. There was one guy on the side of the road, he had a couple, he had an old 67 Ford truck. He had a 38 Chevy. Couple 32 Chevys. He had a lot of Chevrolets, you know, which those you don't see hardly at all. You know, most of the time they're gone, you know, because they made more Fords, so that's why there's more Fords left. But anyway, so I didn't really find a lot. All right, now let me go back to Barber Motorsports and the Mustang event. So after I got done doing whatever I was supposed to doing, praise my car, I had a little extra time. So I naturally went over to the Mustang Club of America event, and I asked the guys down the road where registration was, I said, "Oh, you guys having a swap meet?" And the guy goes, "Swap meet?" Like, he looked at me like I was had four eyes in my head, maybe five. And I go, "Yeah, swap meet, you know, parts." I didn't know anything about it. Then I asked another person over on the other side of registration, which was off campus, so to speak, and they knew nothing about it. So then I just said, fine. So I moseyed on in there, and sure enough, the first place I come to is a vendors and swap meet. So I ran into my good buddy Pete Geisler from Orlando Mustang. He was there. Rick was there from Rick Schmidt from National Parts Depot, and a bunch of other people I knew that were parts junkies, swap meets junkies. So there was vintage Mustangs. There was some Cougar parts, but mostly Mustangs. Stuff, mostly new, a couple of resto mods there, but here's the thing: 67, probably the most popular, most expensive Mustang project car you can buy right now is a 67 Fastback. 68's number two, and then 66, 65 Fastbacks. That's what's hot. It used to be convertibles were the hottest thing. Nah, everybody wants Fastbacks, and 67 is the hottest. It still has the little scoops in the side, and it's pretty cool. So a guy rolls up there with his nasty old 67 GT. It was an actual GT, J-code, or A-code car, which is a 289 four-barrel, 67. And the front end was smacked up a little rusted. He drugged the thing down from Tennessee. It wasn't there more than an hour, and poof, it was gone. So the next day he shows up, and he brings out this clapped out, I'm not kidding, cut to pieces, I'm going to have to post it. It was a shell, just an exterior shell, if you were to literally cut the body off and everything, no floorboards, no nothing, no inner structure, no nothing, 69 Fastback. And even that, he wanted $5,000 for it. And I thought, wow. And like I said, countless parts. So I was talking to some of the other guys that were there at the swap meet, and they were telling me that, yeah, you know, we're here, we're from Georgia, but we're on our way to, in a week or so, they're going out to Pate, Texas. Now I'm giving away a secret here. Pate, Texas. Now I've heard about Pate for years and years and years and years. And that's supposedly a big swap meet. I can only imagine the rust-free treasures that are going to be out there. But it's a big swap meet, so it's not just Ford, Chevy, and Chrysler. It's everything. So one of these days, I'm going to have to put that on my bucket list as well. All right, so let me digress here for a second. So, all right, we talked about the appraisal on the race car that I'm doing. I talked about Barber Motorsports. I talked about the Mustang. I talked about some of the places that I stopped on the way up there. There was one guy that had a bunch of Porsche stuff, but it was off limits. Then I wound up in this one guy's shop, and he had a number of Porsches and British cars. And I can't reveal because, you know, you're kind of sworn to secrecy when you go into these places, particularly if they invite you in, you know. But he had a couple 356s, a couple 911s, a couple 912s, a couple MGBs, a Viper, you know, some of these stuff, an old vintage Corvette. And they're in an undisclosed, unknown location. And but that's kind of cool, you know. And in an old building in the middle of nowhere. And if you drove by it at 2 miles an hour or 200 miles an hour, you'd never know anything was in there. One of the things that I had to do yesterday, okay, now I'm back in Tampa, okay? So in Tampa, I have a customer that is looking to buy a Bronco, okay? So he calls me up and he says, I was referred to you about doing a PPI, which is a pre-purchase inspection. And the pre-purchase inspection involves checking a car out and making sure the vehicle is as represented. So the two vehicles that he was looking at was a right-hand drive, diesel-powered Defender. Is this Darwin?
Not quite, but your friend John's on the phone.
John? I don't have any friends named John. I don't have any friends.
It's Charlie, not John.
Oh, Charlie.
Hey, man. Listen, quick one. Hope you guys doing good, your family and stuff. Appreciate your show being on for how many years now?
14.
Just about 14.
Just about the end of 14, going on 15.
There you go. That's what I thought. Uh-huh. We're playing Friday night at the VFW in Dunedin, 7 to 10. Come out and sit in with us. Bring your axe.
Bring my axe? My guitar? Okay, do you have a bass player?
I have a great bass player. Why?
You've been playing
the bass?
Well, I tinker. I'm not that good. I can just sit there and I can play along maybe. You know, that kind of
thing. Well, whatever. We're playing Friday from 7 to 10, and the name of the band's called The Disclaimers.
The Disclaimers.
Yeah.
I like
this. Yeah. We have a good crowd over there at the VFW in Dunedin. Friday, it's a fish fry from 5 to 7.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got the greatest veterans in the world that are there.
Absolutely.
And these people are great. And they're dancing, and they don't want us to stop. You know what I'm saying? It's a blessing to have these people up there doing that.
That's super.
It's not too bad. And then there's a 60-caliber machine gun out front for those people who don't pay their bills.
Oh, well, that's important to have that. You know, fill them full of lead. You know.
Hey, don't you guys go to the car show on Saturday nights in Dunedin behind the McDonald's?
No, I've never been to that one.
There's about wait.
On Main Street. Yes, I have been there. I forgot all about that one. Yeah, that's
nice.
Right there, Main
Street. It's a nice hangout. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, they have about 40 cars, 50 cars that show up there. It's pretty nice.
Yeah, I brought Alan there one night, you know, he hung out for a little bit, and he saw some people we hadn't seen in a while, you know, like the local guy, they used to call him Max, whose name was Mad Max.
Oh, yeah, we know Max.
You know,
big old
you know Max.
Max. I know Max.
Yeah, he's got some neat rides.
Yeah, he does. Mostly Chevrolets, but we won't hold that against him.
Yeah, well, you know how that goes. Hi, man, I know you're busy. I wanted to chime in. I was just in New York, just came back a couple of days ago, and... you know how that goes.
Right,
bagels
and
pizza every day.
Bagels and pizza. Okay, one more time. Where's this thing going to be at this meeting? The Foreign Legion, or where's this at?
No, the VFW in Dunedin, right on Douglas.
Okay.
And Beltrees. Yeah, if you're around Friday night, 7 to 10.
All right.
You know, yeah, there's no cover. Just walk in and hang out and just yell at the band. We're not doing Freebird. Thank God. Got a good variety of stuff.
All right, good. Yeah, that's a cliche right there. All right, well, Charlie, thanks for calling in. And
hey, man, you have a safe night. Thanks for being on for all these years.
All right.
Stay well.
See you. Thank you, buddy.
Take care. Bye.
Anyway, that's our old buddy Charlie. Usually he calls in with a disguised voice, so that caught me off guard. But he did say John, so that threw me. At any rate...
he did say the disclaimer, so he gave you a disclaimer.
He gave me a disclaimer, yeah.
They played before the show.
Yeah. Okay, so let me talk about this Bronco. So the gentleman sits there and says, I'm looking at two vehicles. I'm looking at a Ford Bronco 77 or 75, which was basically small Broncos from 66 to 77, and then 78, 79, they came up with the big Broncos. And then he was looking at a Defender, okay? Now, this car is right-hand drive. When he told me it was diesel, right away I knew it was an export model because they don't bring exports, diesels in the United States, unless it was brought in. And most of them are going to be right-hand drive. And I will tell you from experiences, I know a lot of guys at Vintage Race, and they race right-hand drive cars. But if you're driving a right-hand drive car, and I've driven one for on and off here and there, they're very annoying to drive a right-hand drive car in the United States. Okay, I don't care what anybody says. It is extremely annoying because you're up against the sidewalk all the time, and it feels really, 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 really weird. And so it's kind of cool. It might be a novelty at first when you get it, but then after that, it's like, nah, I'm not sure I want to keep this car. So then I told him, I said, this is what's going to happen. It's going to be cool initially, but you're not going to like it. Let's go with the Bronco. So I said, let's go check it out, and what's the deal? What's the terms? So I went over, and I did a pre-purchase inspection. The vehicle is local. It's in the Tampa Bay area. And first thing you do is you look at the serial number, okay, which I did. So I broke down the serial number. On a Bronco, it starts at U15, U14, U13. U13 is a Roadster model Bronco. U14 is basically the pickup version, and U15 is the hardtop version. So that's one you want to have. It's a factory V8, not a six-cylinder, and a factory automatic. That's also nice. And, of course, all Broncos are four-wheel drive. Although I do believe that some of the early ones, you could get a two-wheel drive, but I don't remember. Don't hold me to that. Anyway, so this thing's been slightly modified. It's got a roll bar in it. The engine's been freshened up, and it's got that MSD tricked out carburetor looking thing that's actually fuel injection. The truck ran and drove very, very good. The whole interior of the truck had body liner, or the truck bed liner on it. Okay. Now that is an honest I'm going to say a 16th of an inch thick, you know. Mm-hmm. If you've ever, I've peeled it off before, off a rack before, and it just peels off like a sheet, you know. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, the thing that always bugs me when I see that, you always look the vehicle over. Now, this vehicle, I was looking to see if it was crashed. I looked on the front, looked on the back, looked underneath, and everything like that. No, no signs of wreck. However, this is an example of details. The devil is in the details. I say this all the time. Driver quality paint job, driver quality build, okay, nice tires and wheels, 3-inch lift, okay. So now I'm slithering underneath the car, and I'm taking pictures. I'm checking the U-joints. I'm checking the rear end. I'm checking, you know, all that kind of stuff. I already know by the code and the data plate, which on a Bronco, a small Bronco, is riveted to the glove box, which that always puzzled me. Because if you take the glove box off, the VIN number goes with you. It's kind of like on the early 70s, 68 to 72 American-made cars. Many of them, the dash pad had the serial number riveted to the dash pad. So if you pulled the dash pad out and you switched it with another one because yours was cracked, very often you forgot to switch the VIN number. Although it's on the car in a number of places. But nonetheless, it could, you know, if somebody were to walk up and just check the VIN number off the title, and it wouldn't match. You know, they have to go crawl around on the car someplace and try to find the metal plate if it's on there, or stamped in the frame someplace. So at any rate, I looked this Bronco over. Now, when I was underneath the thing, I noticed that there was some rust in the tow board and on both sides, the passenger side, the driver's side, and then the right rear wheel well. Now, this is what's interesting. If you're going to go ahead and rhino coat the car, if you're going to do a nice job, just and you're going to cover it, hide the sins, as they say, then go ahead and break out your welder, get your tin snips out, and either pop rivet or tack weld a piece of metal in there to cover the holes. But no, they didn't do this. What they did is they filled it up with rhino liner, and next thing you know, it pushed the metal down just a little bit. So now you got this little rough edge rip piece of metal that's actually rusted, separated right there, and it's just cheesy and tacky. And it just tells you that, you know, you had the vehicle apart, you put a motor in it, you put a transmission in it, so it was all apart, you were right there, why didn't you do it? Okay, so this is, again, devil's in the details. And again, you know, it was driver quality vehicle. So next thing you knew, after I run around the vehicle and inspect this and take pictures and compare this and compare that, there's a piece of trim missing here, and then they put an aftermarket radio in it, and the ashtray didn't quite fit right, and, you know, the little mechanism was messed up in it. Little thing, those are nothing. That's nothing. Those are itty bitty little things, normal wear and tear items that can be easily fixed. Okay, the tow board. Well, now that's a little bit of work to get that thing done. There's a process. There's numbers of ways to do that, and that's another story for another day. But at any rate, so I drove the vehicle. It's got brand, you know, about 3-4 year old tires on it and wheels and stuff. And it looks okay. It's very tastefully done. Sits up. It's got a nice stance to it. It's a beautiful car. It'll be up on our Facebook page, which is GulfstreamMotorsports.com or Nostalgic Radio and Cars. If you get a chance, go check it out, because I'll put a little ditty on it. And but again, it's like the person that's buying this vehicle is a car enthusiast, but not a car guy. There's a huge difference between a car guy that eats, sleeps, and drinks cars, that knows all this stuff, that makes a habit out of learning all this stuff. It's like when I went to the swap meet, for example, I could tell who actually wrenched on the car, because you could talk about this part, that part, where it goes, how it fits, how hard it is to put in, how hard it is to take out, how many pieces you got to get out of the way before you get to that particular part so you can take that particular part out, all that kind of stuff. It's extremely important to find somebody that really knows cars, and specific cars, when you're having a pre-purchase inspection done. And the most important thing is that when you do these, my job is to make sure the car is as represented, and then if the customer instructs me to, the client, to put a valuation on it. And then it's up to, I don't get involved in the deals. And then it's up to him with my valuation and the seller to get together and find a meeting of the minds and find a price that they can both live with. That's kind of how that works. But I thought it was kind of interesting because this is the second one I've done, third actually, vintage Bronco. I'm not going to mention any names, but I also did another one by comparison. Now, this was a real live Bronco on a real live Ford chassis with a real live Ford body, with a real live Ford motor, a real live Ford transmission, a real live Ford's 9-inch rear end, and basically your little Eaton 44 front end, or Dana 44 front, okay, which Jeeps use the same one basically. Okay, and so this was a real, genuine, honest car. Decent piece. I drove it. It ran fine, drove fine. Made me a little nervous because if you've ever driven a CJ5, and if you put big tires and wheels on them, they don't have any sway bars to speak of. So it's a little bit of body roll. Makes you kind of nervous at 60 miles an hour. It's not like the bigger Broncos, like ours, like 79, which that's substantial. Anyway, so then I came back in the lot, and I took some more pictures and stuff, and I actually shot a video, which will be on our YouTube channel here before long. And but also, I have to put it in and out of gear, you know, lock the hubs and all this kind of stuff. And it's a little bit of a tricky procedure to get it in four-wheel high, four-wheel low, and then back into two-wheel high. And so it has issues. So my job is to write down everything that I feel needs to be addressed and put that in a presentation so that he can make his, you know, make it an educated offer on this particular vehicle. That's kind of how it works. So anyway, having said that, that was that story on that. Now, when you buy cars, I will be the first one to tell you, there's certain vehicles that I know pretty well. There's other vehicles that I don't know well. But I always know somebody that I can go to that knows more about these cars than I do. So that's the important thing is, you know, when you're working with somebody, if you hire anybody, same thing with a mechanic. You know, is you want to make sure that you go to the right guy that knows what he's doing. And you can usually ascertain that or determine that in the conversation, whether the guy knows the little nuances about, you know, whether it might be an Austin Healey, whether it might be a Jaguar, whether it might be an MGB. Like my friend Brian is an MGB expert. Alan loves Triumphs and Volvos. You know, he knows those cars, you know. So everybody has kind of a specialty. But altogether, we kind of know a lot about a lot of cars, but not. We're not experts unless we specialize in that particular car. Now, I'll give you another good example. I drive a Ford Transit Connect, for example. Okay, so we just had what was common with these things, and I have 200,000 miles on it, and I just had an oil leak because it's got some goofy valve cover with these little valve cover gaskets that seals that are in between the spark plug holes, right? They tend to leak. When they get hot and over time and they expand, contract, they crack, split, and they leak, and then it dumps oil in the spark plug holes, okay? And you better be very, very, very careful getting your spark plug out of there. Now, the good thing is the mechanic that I had do this, because I didn't want to mess with this thing because there's a bunch of electronic stuff in the way, and if I boogered it up, I don't have the equipment to straighten the vehicle out. Now, by comparison, I was working on our MGB the other day, Little Miss Moneypenny, and I had to mess around with the carburetors. Well, that's carburetor. It's mechanical. I can figure that out. I can actually YouTube it, figure it out. Points, plugs, and answer the usual stuff. There's nothing there that I can't figure out because it's mechanical. Electronics, it's a little different story. Bobby here, on the other hand, he knows how to sit there and plug it in the thing, and then he puts it on his phone, and it does this, and it does that, and then he YouTubes it, and then boom. And magically it works. But anyway, so the mechanic was honest, and he said, hey, look, you know, just want to call this to your attention. Your timing chain is slightly loose. Now, it's 200,000 miles. I will tell you that this little Ford Transit Connect with this little 2.5 motor in it has been a great little vehicle. It's been all over the Southeast, all over the United States, you know, the Southeast part of the United States and South Florida and all over the place. It's perfect for what I do. Great gas mileage, reliable, dependable. It's practically cost me nothing. Now, here it is 200,000 miles later. All right, so I might have to put, $500 here, a couple hundred bucks there, $1,000 here. But when you look at the overall, because it was a well-maintained vehicle to begin with, it's a great deal. But preventative maintenance, and if that timing chain is going to go bad, if it's weak, now's the time to take care of it, because otherwise it could cost you a whole motor.
Took a video of it for us.
He actually took a video of it for us and showed me the slop on the timing chain, which I thought that was interesting. It's twin overhead cam, double cam. But anyway, nonetheless, Matt, thanks for hanging out with us here. I think we got, about 2 minutes left, 3 minutes? Yep. If we go over the top of the hour, we do that once in a while. Bobby, anything you want to add?
No,
you're good?
Happy to make the journey down here.
Well, anyway, so did I look in the camera enough here for everybody?
I think you did.
I did? Okay, well, I want to just make sure of that. But anyway, if you have any automotive questions, don't forget to check out our website, GulfstreamMotorsports.com. If you want to tune into our past shows, NostalgicRadioCars.com.
Facebook.
X.
Instagram. LinkedIn. YouTube. All over the place.
And what's that one?
All Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
Absolutely. Truth Social, too.
And no, you're not there yet.
But anyway, so we're going to be at the car show at American Muscle Car Museum this weekend. Hopefully some of you guys can make it out there. They are good friends with the HSR. There's the Walter Mitty race this weekend at Atlanta, and I would love to be up there for that. But I just came back from Birmingham. I may be going up next month because there's another event going up there. And then the month after that, there's another one up in Birmingham. I think there's a couple Porsche events up in the Carolinas here in a couple of weeks. All kinds of cool stuff going on. But in the meantime, don't forget to check us out here every Tuesday between 7 and 8 p.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network for the most legendary and fascinating names in motorsports, including us, of course, and music. Thank you, Bobby, for hanging out.
Thank you.
Matt, thank you for hanging out. I want to see you guys at some of the car shows. Stay safe, drive carefully, and love your family.